Eureka, or perhaps not. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
As always, I'm really glad that the people out there in WLRY land have graciously invited us into their homes, and I'm glad to be with them, and I'm glad to be with you this fine Sunday evening as we record.
Yes, and Chuck, I gotta say that it never ceases to amaze me how some people want to stretch and stretch and stretch to try to make a point, and going out on the thinnest of limbs to do so. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about Chuck and I and what we do every day on the program, but I am talking about a topic that we do tend to come back to awful lot because, I don't know, Chuck, maybe about once a month, once every 5 or 6 weeks, there's another major splash pronouncement across the media that, Eureka, they've found it, or maybe they have. And what I'm talking about is the scientific community making a big noise and a splash about finding life on Mars.
Well, Barry, this sort of reminds me, if you remember, October Surprise, do you remember a guy named Gary Sick wrote a book in which he said that George W. Bush had got, I think it was in an XR-71, and flown over to Iran in 1980, just before the election, and made a secret deal with the Iranians so that the hostages would be released the day that Reagan took office and blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, in Congress, when they were holding hearings on these, what was said by, it may have been Joe Biden, I'm not going to make a direct accusation of that, it seems to me it was somebody like that, said, there's not a shred of evidence that this happened, and therefore that's why we must investigate it. Well, Barry, that's the exact thing we have on our hands right now. We have a statement that we have the strongest evidence yet to there being life on Mars.
And you have to put that in context, though, Chuck, because strong evidence is based upon all of the other evidence that they had, which turned out not to be any evidence at all.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't have a shred of evidence of life on Mars. Therefore, we must continue to investigate. Basically, what's happened is, and we've talked about this before, currently the current Curiosity Mars rover is roaming around inside of a what appears to be a comet hit. And there's a big deal being made over the fact that there are places where rocks have been washed by water. Well, you and I have both stated, even in our amateur astronomer status, that we're really not shocked, because comets are balls of ice and chemicals with some rock in the center. So they're sort of like slushy ice balls like you used to make when you were a kid when you didn't like somebody. You put a rock in the middle.
I'm sure that neither one of us ever did that, nor would we ever condone any of our listeners' children or grandchildren ever doing that.
Thank goodness there's no snow out right now.
Exactly.
But you can do some major damage by putting a rock in the middle. Well, that's exactly what you're dealing with a comet. You've basically got a big ice ball soaring through space at thousands of miles an hour, tens of thousands of miles an hour, orbiting the sun in a very eccentric orbit. And it's basically coated with all kinds of crystals of water and methane and chemicals with nitrogen compounds in them, all kinds of stuff from out in interstellar space, because that's where most comets, their orbits take them out to. Okay. Well, every once in a while, one of those will impact a planet or a moon or something. And one of the things that makes the Earth habitable is the fact that we have all these lovely outer planets and some great big ones who are very attractive gravitationally to some of these comets. And we've seen the evidence of that by some films that NASA has of, for instance, comet fragments and meteor fragments hitting Jupiter and the havoc that it creates when those things hit Jupiter. And it's actually rather spectacular footage. But that is one of the things that makes Earth habitable, is the fact that we have these outer planets that attract comets. So the comets hit there and they don't hit here. Well, we also have a nice atmosphere that any relatively sizable chunks get burned up in our atmosphere as they come and approach Earth. And plus, we already have water here, so it's not a big deal. But on Mars, where there's virtually no water, something that is a big slushy ice ball of water and chemicals and rock would necessarily, as it impacted, one of the things you create is heat. And that heat melts the ice. Mars has some atmosphere, So some of that water would have evaporated on the way in. But the fact is that a lot of it was probably still there when it hit and it melted. And what do you know, little rivulets of melted comet ran away from the site. And we're making a big deal over the fact that there are water-washed rocks in these little rivulets that run away from this impact crater. Well, Barry, I'm not shocked at that at all. That's exactly what I would expect. And I would expect organic chemicals to be found, traces of organic chemicals to be found in that. And that's exactly what we're seeing from that. What we've got here is a place in this article from Britain's Telegraph, the Telegraph newspaper, with this sensational headline is this doctor from Scotland, this professor, John Parnell. It suggests that they have discovered the best signs of life on the surface of Mars, and it's basically some rocks with some clay and some other things that look like they've been mixed with water. And again, to this I say, not a big shock. I'm really not surprised. I would expect to see some melted water. Anytime you get an impact with any kind of a rocky or other kind of thing, like an iron or rock, like you get with a lot of meteorites, you get a lot of heat generated. And what happens when you generate heat? Well, the surface of Mars is extremely cold.
Yes, it is.
And what you're going to get is some melted water that's below the surface. With that heat and that impact, the energy being transferred, you're going to get some water that gets squeezed out. So some of it's going to run away from the impact site. Barry, this is really not all that shocking. So to claim that this is any kind of evidence for life is speculative at best and virtually science fiction at worst.
Well, I wish it were only science fiction, Chuck, but this research document that Professor Parnell and his research associate, Dr. Joseph Mikowski, have written is being published in the Nature Geoscience Journal. And basically they're saying that we could be so close to discovering if there is or was life on Mars, according to Dr. Parnell. And I want to take a look at his logic here, Chuck. He basically says, first of all, there could be no life on the surface of Mars because it's bathed in radiation and it's completely frozen. Well, yeah, that would bode not well for life on Mars now, wouldn't it? So we can rule out any humanoid species, I think, Charles, or any warm-blooded species on the surface of Mars.
Even materials.
Well, yeah, that's true. He says, however, life in the subsurface would be protected from all that. Well, possibly. We don't know how deep the frost line would be, but we'll figure that out. And he says, there's no reason why there isn't bacteria. You notice this? He isn't saying that there is a reason for it. He's saying there's no reason why there isn't bacteria or microbes that were or still are living in these small cracks well below the surface of Mars. So now he's jumped over into pure speculation because he's saying he has reason to believe it. He's saying there's no reason not to believe it. Except for the fact that he just said radiation completely frozen might be a problem here.
Well, there is a logical fallacy buried in this, and it is an attempt to prove a universal negative. In other words, we can assume there's life here because there's no evidence that there isn't.
Exactly.
Well, wrong. That's the assumption to make. The assumption is that unless you can produce evidence that there is life, there isn't any.
Right.
That is the correct assumption.
But Parnell keeps going on here. And he says, unfortunately, we won't find any evidence of animals as the most complex life you might get in the subsurface, as the most complex life that you might get in the subsurface would be fungi. But fungi aren't even that far removed from plants and animals, so I think you could say that life on Mars could be complex, but small. This is Professor Parnell's logic, Chuck.
Well, Professor Parnell needs to stick to geology because he's not very good at biology. Fungi and plants and animals are actually three different types of life. Basically, a fungi is sort of, well, let's put it this way. It is a very sophisticated set of single-cell animals that live together and form what's called a symbiosis. They take on, each one of the animals takes on a specialized form to do a special job. So it's a kind of a weird hybrid between single cell and multi-celled plants. So there is a big difference between between single cell and plants and fungi. And what he has done here is taken the speculation. First of all, he's made the assumption that life is possible and therefore it's probable, which is false. And he's done that by giving the examples of, we know that much life on Earth lives below the surface. Well, Barry, that's absolutely true. There are all kinds of critters that live beneath the surface, plant and animal. But the fact is, we have ideal conditions here. On Mars, Not so much. The surface temperature is like 60 below zero in a lot of spots. It's exceedingly cold. The atmosphere is exceedingly thin. We're talking about all these things that are living on hydrogen that's seeping up through the surface, that kind of thing. Well, that's entirely possible. We have animals that live under those kind of conditions, you know, anaerobic conditions and those kinds of things. But the fact is, to have some kind of heat, they have to have some kind of an energy source. None of that exists on Mars.
I was going to say, though, what we really get down to, finally, the more Professor Parnell talks, the more we understand what he's really after. And it isn't so much finding signs of life on Mars. It's using this, well, shall we say, rather idealistic view to show us how life on Earth began. You see, that's Parnell's whole theory behind this. We can draw parallels between what Mars looks like and what the early Earth might look like. And he says that studying meteorite craters of Mars may well actually give us an indication of how life on Earth began. Because, according to Professor Parnell, although we all live on the surface of Earth, life didn't originate here, but actually in the subsurface. It was only when life had taken hold below the surface that it gradually expanded and came up to the surface. Chuck, sounds like he's describing human beings like corn.
Well, Barry, again, this is idle speculation on his part. He doesn't know how life began. This is a theory posited from what must have been from the theory of evolution. And again, I would say, as a creationist, I would say that's frankly utter nonsense. Again, this is life self-creating. And until somebody can show me an instance where life has self-created below the surface, he's not even correct about evolutionary theory. Most evolutionary theory shows life beginning not subsurface, but in the water. So he's even off on that. Now, it's hard to tell whether Parnell is basically trying to gin up support for a European Space Agency trip to Mars or a new NASA trip to Mars with him helping design the experiments. My guess is right now, since NASA is the one who's really beating the drum on these Mars missions, probably he's hoping that somebody at NASA will take the bait. And right now, I don't know, we are sort of dismantling those kinds of missions because they're not productive. Yeah, we're learning some interesting things about the surface of Mars, but the speculation coming out of the rover program is just getting sillier and sillier, and I think people are starting to catch on, especially if I read some of the comments correctly. Now, of course, some people are for exploration's sake, and to them I say, hey, man, give up as much of your salary as you can afford to donate to these exploration programs. Be my guest, but stop stealing my tax money to pay for it, because you're not finding out anything that's really relevant to much. Billions and billions and billions of dollars put in, and what are we finding out? Well, we found out that Mars got hit by some comets, and some water ran off and mixed with some rocks. I'm not real impressed with that.
As well you shouldn't be, because honestly, Chuck, no matter how hard they want to try to look at it, God's word is very clear. And the fact that God made life, specifically human beings, as a special creation and put them here on Earth in order to take it and cultivate it and have mastery over it and subdue the fish and the animals and other things of the earth, which you're not finding on any other planet. And we can spend billions and billions of taxpayer dollars sending out little ATVs to go check, but what they're going to find is what we expect to find on a planet that's as far away from the sun as Mars is, and that is frozen tundra and radiation.
Well, you know what, Barry? If Mars were closer in size to Earth and actually had an atmosphere, you might find conditions. Also, it has to have, here's what Mars lacks. It lacks an iron core, a molten iron core. And now what that, people go, well, what's that have to do with anything on life on the surface? Well, it has everything to do with it, because that is the reason why Earth has magnetic poles. And magnetic poles are what save us from solar and cosmic radiation. There's the rub. And these guys basically admitted that. And if you'll recall, several weeks ago when we talked about this situation with the Curiosity rover, I made the statement that Mars is lifeless because it's bathed in radiation. Well, this geologist confirmed that. Thank you very much. For those who thought I might be a little crazy, I now have confirmation from the scientific community.
Indeed.
Yeah. And that and the $3.50 will get me a chai tea latte over at Panera Bread.
So. Hey, sounds good. Order me one, too.
I can't drink it anymore, you know. But that being said, we're out of time, Barry.
Thought we would be.
Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.